Well, today is April 19th. We're up here at the garage, and I had the pleasure of watching you crank up the Hemi engine that you've just built. I guess that must have been Wednesday of last week when you cranked it for the first time, I guess.
That's right. We started building this motor in 1972. We got the block assembly finished, but wound up at the engine we had in the car. It was so good we didn't have to have a new one for the next race that was going to run. And so I never did really finish the engine, no more than what I had there was a block assembly ready to put the heads and stuff on it.
And so you had built that in anticipation of needing another engine for your race car, but what you had was doing so well, you didn't wind up ever having to finish it.
No, I never did have to because I sold the car in 1974 to Paul Pierce up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and so I didn't have to have that engine, and it's been on the stands there, and I'd go turn it through about every 2 or 3 months. I'd turn it through and make sure the oil, everything was still lubricating it.
Mm-hmm. When we talked the last time, you were telling me about some of your modified days and some of the big wins that you'd had, and you mentioned, I believe, that many of those wins came with a Hemi engine in your car, if I'm not mistaken. How did the Hemi come about? When did you first start hearing about it?
Well, I went to Augusta, Georgia, to a stock car race there, Grand National. That's what it was back then before they got all the new names. It was strictly stock race. And a gentleman there by the name of Gober Soulsby showed up with a 1951 Chrysler V8, which had a Hemi engine in it. And, boy, he really showed out that day. He lapped the field 3 or 4 different times. And I knowed right then that I had to have me one of those engines for my modified. And so it wasn't but about 2 or 3 months later I found one that a dealer had had to replace for a Chrysler under warranty. And I bought it and rebuilt it and put it in my modified. And I got it in there in 1952.
Yeah. So were they putting those in street cars, the Hemis? Or?
That was a standard engine in 1951, yep. All the way up through 56, a Hemi engine. And they also made a smaller one for a DeSoto, and they always one a little smaller than that for a Dodge. And it was all Hemi engines.
What was meant by Hemi? What do they mean by Hemi?
That was a combustion chamber design. The one valve was on top of another one. You dropped it in with the intake and the exhaust did it with right out the bottom, which made it where you could put real large ports and real large valves in it. So you had to use a dome type piston, and that's where the Hemi design came from.
Was it superior to all of its peers in its day?
There wasn't nothing to even compare with it. Because all your drag racers went to it there, and all the ones that really ran fast, like Don Garlick and those guys, they set records everywhere they went.
How long was its reign? I mean, how long did you use it in your race cars?
I used that all the way up to I sold it. You know, I had two of them. I built two of the Hemis, and you never did know when I swapped one for the other. I wound up selling the car in 1959, and they wrecked the car later on there, and they brought me the engine back in a basket in 1962. And Ron McDaniels, I didn't know that he took the engine. I had it in a big box, and he loaded that thing up and carried it to Detroit, and he reassembled that engine, and this is it, what's sitting in my office here today, the one that I raced with in my modified.
Yeah. When you subsequently became a car owner, the Hemi was still still in use then, correct? Or no?
No.
Okay.
When I went to Grand National, see, they dropped the Hemi engine, I think, in the latter part of 1956 or 7, and went to a wedge engine, which for the street was a little more torquey than, and they could do hydraulic lifters and all that type of stuff in it to make it quiet. And so they done away with the Hemi. And then when Chrysler got back into racing in 1961 or two, somewhere along in there, they were getting outrun bad because all they had was the engine that they had was a 383 and a 413, but they didn't have no really good exhaust headers and all that type for it. So really, they didn't have an engine that would say run with the Chevrolet or the Ford or the Pontiac.
And they didn't reinvent it or bring it back out, did they?
Well, what happened? Gail Porter came to me and wanted me to run Dodges in 63, and I was with Pontiac then. We had the 421, which was an awful fast engine and a real good reliability on it, and wound up, I told him, I said, you don't have anything that will outrun what I've got here in the shop, so there's no need of me switching to something that's not going to be up front. And I said, go pick that engine there up, which was my Hemi engine sitting there on the floor, and I said, that engine will outrun anything I got now. And he said, well, I promise you a Hemi engine in 64, so by George, he gave it to us.
And brought it back. What was his name?
Gail Porter.
Gail Porter.
Yes, sir.
He went back to his engineers, I assume, and they re...
He was old, from what I understand. I talked to the gentleman that sent him to me, which was... Gail Porter was over product planning.
Gotcha.
And I asked Mr. Frank Wiley, who was over the public relations department of Chrysler Corporation, did Gail Porter have that sort of a power? And he said he thought Gail had that type of power because he really got it done.
And he made it happen.
He made it happen.
And so when you won the championship with Pearson in 66, was that the engine you were running?
That was the Hemi engine that we got in 64.
Gotcha.
And I still got the second engine that I ran in 64 that Chrysler sent me, that I've got it in a 64 Dodge Coronet, like we raced with in 1964.
Well, the engine that's sitting down in your race shop right now, about to be shipped off to
Oklahoma,
as I understand it. Is there anything else special about it? I believe it's a dry sump engine. Is that correct?
Yeah, Chrysler came, in later years came with a dry sump engine in 1969. Also, they came with a new type cylinder head, was called the D-port cylinder head, and it took head and headers to run that head, and on the 426 Hemi, and I don't think nobody else ever run the heads because they were for sale, and I bought all I could get my hands on because I really liked the setup and the way that they ran, and every time I bowed them on, it was 25 horsepower over anything I had, so I was really tickled to get all the D-port cylinder heads I could buy.
Yeah. When you were rebuilding this engine that had sat there, I guess, or that you started back in 1972, did it bring back a lot of memories? Did you remember all the details and nuances of the engine?
Oh yeah, I remember exactly everything about it. I even had a Racer Brown camshaft in it. It was a mushroom type cam, and I had a Keith Black gear drive setup, which nobody, I don't think, ever knew I was running. It was Charlie Glossback. The way he jumped in and out of a throttle, he was real bad on busting timing chains, you know, with the cams that we were using. So we had to go to the gear drive to where we could go ahead and finish races without losing an engine. Yeah. And So this engine has got that. As long as I put the D-port cylinder heads on it, it's got a big 4,500 carburetor on a big bathtub intake, and it put out, I'd say, somewhere around 650 horsepower.
Wow. Did you encounter anything unexpected in rebuilding it here?
No, not really. I didn't. I thought I would possibly have more problems oiling it, but I pumped the oil pressure up before I have fooled with it, and I turned it through and loop, made sure I had lubrication in all the points where I wouldn't hurt anything when I did crank it.
Yeah. Well, I was one of a crowd of about 10 people in your garage last week that was there to hear it fire up, and boy, I don't know that there's anything that puts off a much better sound than that, and it's a beautiful sound, isn't it?
It really is, and a Hemi engine has got a sound of its own. It'll vibrate to whatever building you got it in. It just I don't know something about it that other engines don't have. Is that vibration point that if you're in a room, you can just feel the vibration coming from that engine.
Well, to the gentleman in Oklahoma who's going to be the new proud owner of the engine, I tell you, you've got a true hog, as old racers say, and something to be proud of, built by a legend who saw the Hemi engine from its birth and its glory years, and who's intertwined in its history. So
38 years in the building.
38 years in the making to get the engine together. And that's a long time. But, well, thanks for talking about the Hemi, Pop, and we'll keep talking some more when we have a little more time.
All right.